In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He welcomes sinners. He eats with sinners. And yet he does not tolerate sinners. He loves them, but he will not let them abuse his love by continuing in their sin. Those who do will lose their share in the tree of life. For it is not sin that God sends to hell, but the sinner. So it was not sin that God drove out of the Garden of Eden, but he drove Adam and Eve, the sinners, out of that perfect garden. So God loves the sinners, he welcomes the sinners, but he also will not tolerate them. So the Pharisees were right in what they said, but wrong to complain about it. What really ticks them off is not the sinner's sin, but it was the love of God. They grumble because God welcomes the no good, wasteful, lazy brother and makes him equal to them who wasted nothing. I'm afraid that the sins of the Pharisees are often closer to our hearts than the sins of the tax collectors. Arrogance, pride, and grudges loom large in our hearts as we look down on others for simply not being here, as we look down on others as how sinful they are, how they could have done that. And then they waltz in here as if nothing had ever happened. But our arrogance is nothing more than looking down and complaining about the love of God. Because God so loved the world that he died for the world to redeem the world, not just simply us good people. So here's the sad reality. Those who complain about God's love will never find a loving God. But a holy God will say to them on the last day, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And now you know why there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. God desires all to be saved and none to perish. His sacrifice was full and atoning for all people, the sins of the whole world, yes, even those vile and wicked men throughout history. He desires all to repent and to come to him. To repent, then, is to turn away from our sins. Or perhaps more broadly, to repent is to turn away from our works, no matter how awful they were, no matter how sinful and how long we persisted in them. Turn away from those works and also turn away from all those things we think are good about ourselves. To repent is to consider ourselves as worthless, as good for nothings, as nothing in God's sight. And to look to God in faith. He takes no pleasure in the death of anyone. He desires all to be saved, so he extends his love to all. And when a sinner repents, that is, when Christ goes out and finds that lost sinner and pulls him back, when a sinner repents, heaven comes unglued with holy joy. He who was lost is now found by God. He who was dead is made alive by God. And if that is not cause for rejoicing, then I really don't know what is. By God's grace, he brought you to repentance and faith, and all of heaven shouted for joy that God had found you. But do not think that your repentance is somehow done and over. Many mistake and confuse conversion with repentance. Conversion happened in the past when you came to faith. Repentance begins there, but it continues on each and every day. For daily you must turn away from yourself and all you think is great and wonderful about yourself. Daily you must turn away from yourself and turn toward your God in faith. The words of the prophet Isaiah are still true about us. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. It still happens to us today. Or were you perfect this past week? Did you gladly hear the word of God and eagerly say your prayers to your Father? Did you speak well about your leaders, even if you disagree completely with their policies? Did you spring up the moment your parents asked you to do something, or the moment your manager, employer, asked you to do something? or did you try to shove it off on someone else? Did arrogance and pride fill your heart so that you shook your heads at those who committed awful atrocities and wondered how they could be so bad, forgetting that you yourself have that same fallen flesh in your own heart? Yes, daily we must turn away from ourselves. Daily we must repent. For the Lord is patient. Though he has brought you back to his flock numerous times, he still goes out and searches for you. He joyfully picks you up and goes home rejoicing. He doesn't just go after those who fall into those big sins. But each time we wander, each moment of anger or pride, he comes to us in his holy word, and he will not stop until he has brought us back, back to repentance, back to faith in him. For the Lord cannot tolerate sin, even the small, insignificant sins in our eyes. He welcomes us, he loves us, but he will not allow us to wander from him. Perhaps you've heard it said that God accepts you as you are. There is some truth in this, very little, but there is still some truth. There is also a gaping hole in this. It is true that God wants you to come to his house with all of your problems, frustrations, anger, all of your sins. Drag all of that baggage in here and lay it before his feet. For not one sin is too great for your Father to forgive. Not one of you is too far away for your God not to find you. But here is the error. God has not brought you into his church so that you can continue to sin. He has not brought you here so you can continue to live the life you were living before, but he changes you. His word changes you. He conforms you to his holy will, makes you something better, something new, something different. Go and sin no more, he says. So bring it all in here. But as you go back out to your houses, take none of it with you. For God has made you new and holy in Christ. He loves you. He saves you. He forgives you. He redeems you. So do not continue in your sin. Live repentant lives, for that repentance is ongoing. Daily turn away from your sin, from yourself, and toward Christ in faith. For he himself is the only one who could carry the weight of our sins and the punishment we incurred by our wanderings. He took it on his shoulders so that by his wounds you might be healed. And he also carries you. He picks you up, places you on his shoulders, and joyfully marches heavenward. Remember St. Peter's words, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." You may feel like you don't have the strength to go on, that you can't handle this or that, but cast your anxiety on him. It is the Lord who marches forward, and you simply rest on his shoulders. So he welcomes sinners, but he does not tolerate sinners. He threatens to pour out his wrath on sinners, yet he loves them. He is angry with the wicked every day, and yet still he goes out and searches for them. These are not contradictory, but this is the difference between law and gospel. For God is a holy God, but he is also a gracious God. If, like the Pharisees, you want to dictate the terms and conditions of God's love, then you will never find that loving God. If, like the sinners and tax collectors, you repent of your sins, then you will find a God whose love covers even the most vile offenses. So I cannot urge you enough to repent each and every day, to look away from yourself and toward your God. For God welcomes sinners like you, the arrogant, the prideful, the lazy, the apathetic. He welcomes you here. But he will not tolerate those who hold on to that pride or that arrogance or that laziness. Turn away from your works. Boast in the Lord, for he has not abandoned you. He himself was abandoned on the tree of the cross, so that he might ever be with you, so that you might come to his house rejoicing and feast with him. Yeah. Should not the members of Christ's church also act in a similar way then? That is what that second parable is about. The woman is the church, the bride of Christ. As Christ has borne the burden of our sins to his cross, so also we are to carry each other's burdens and to help them in any way we can. As Christ has searched for us in our sinful wanderings, so also are we to search for others who are lost in sin. Call them to repentance and faith. Do not tell me that it's none of your business what they do. I'm telling you right now, it is your business. For when the foot is injured, the hand and the eye, the entire body seeks to take care of it. So you are also one body, one church, one community, tied closely together. You are to take care of each other and love each other. Call each other back from their sinful ways, regardless of how small that sin may be. The lamp is the Word of God, for that alone exposes the darkness of our sinful hearts. The light is none other than Christ himself, for he is the light of the world who shows where we have wandered, so that he might cleanse us of our sins and draw us back to his holy church. As he has loved us, let us also love one another. Look out for each other. Call each other to repentance and faith, and love them when they do that to you. Do not assume they are somehow being arrogant or trying to knock you down. Love them when they point out your sins, so that you might hear of the forgiveness and love of your God once more. Then when those holy angels gather the sheep on our Lord's right hand, we can rejoice with all of them, with all of those sheep, as ones who are lost and yet found by the grace of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.